Let's look at Jonah chapter 1 again. We're going to pick it up at verse number 6. And I'm going to take a big chunk today. We're going to go 6 through 16. And then next week we'll be in chapter 2. And we'll talk about this great big fish that swallowed Jonah. One thing for certain, the book of Jonah is not a story about a big fish.
Amen.
The book of Jonah is a story about a rebellious prophet who many of us, or if not all of us, have some similarities. And we can learn a lot from Jonah's mistakes. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, let's look at verse 6 through verse 16. It says, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrath and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Let me read 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the miracles and the miraculous events found in Jonah. Father God, we are a type of Jonah, as is Jonah is a type of Christ. Father God, we all suffer and struggle with our prejudices and our anger and hard-headedness. Father God, we just pray that you would just deliver us. We don't have to be cast into a sea. Let us hear from you. Let us hear your word, Father God, and learn and apply these biblical truths to our lives. Father, thank you for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if I've ever told you guys this story. I think I have. My brother with his 16-footer. My brother had a 16-footer. Anybody know what a 16-footer is? 16-foot boat. Okay? 16-foot boat. Man, you know, it may be great for Lake Milton. Great for maybe Mosquito Lake. But my brother took me on that boat to Lake Erie. And we was on Lake Erie up by the breakwall, and we just fishing about 10 miles out. And we just catching white bass. I mean, just throwing out rooster tails. I don't know if you guys understand fishing terminology, but we was just catching buckets of white bass. And then we heard these horns blowing. You know, horns, Horns always are blown just to alert you or warn you that something's happening. So when you hear the horn blow, and one day we all going to hear the horn blow. Okay? But we heard a horn blow, and I asked my brother, I said, what's the horn blowing? I knew it wasn't a band out there or anything like that. And my brother said, oh, that's just the Coast Guard. They saying we need to be getting in. The storm is coming. But we got time because we catching white bass. So we waited, and the horn started blowing louder, and it's getting closer to us, and we started in. And by the time we started in, we had gotten behind in our 16-footer some 30 and 40-foot boats. And the water from those 30 and 40-foot boats was just actually going over the top of our boat. Remember that word, nevertheless, when we get to it. Because that was the last time I ever got on a boat again and been to Lake Erie on a boat. Nevertheless, Jonah, in our story today in verse number 6, Jonah sound asleep on the boat. We've covered Jonah for a little while now. And the shipmaster would be the owner of the boat. And the owner of the boat, they had been praying, and the mariners in verse 5, they were crying out to their gods. And here we find Jonah sound asleep. Sound asleep in the sides of the boat. And the shipmaster came to him. Ain't this something when the world comes to the believer? When the world comes to the believer and corrects the believer? When the world comes to the believer and challenges the believer to live like who you say you are, act like a Christian. Hey, is that something? So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? The world get it right every once in a while, don't it? Because the church is asleep. Church is asleep. And don't want to be woke up because church feel like it's doing what they do. Mm-hmm. Folk happy. Folk running around. Folk happy. Here's Jonah asleep. And the world's telling Jonah, arise and call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now, in prison, and probably in the military, and when Jake go to firefighter school, he gonna find out. It's called CIM. Anybody know what CIM is? It's called critical incident management. When you're in a critical incident in a prison, you got your four W's and an H. They call it where, what is, how's it go? Where, what, how, and when, something like that. I should know that. Y'all say you were in prison 27 years. You don't know that? I wrote it down. Where, when, why, and how. They got a critical incident on this ship. They want to know what's going on. They want to know what's going on. Because in the Old Testament, when something bad happened, there's always a cause. I believe that goes on today. If something bad is happening, people say, well, you know, it's just bad luck. You know, I don't like to use the word bad luck. Okay? I mean, if you get pulled over and get your third DUI, that ain't bad luck. Okay, that ain't bad luck. That ain't bad luck. If you lose all your money at the casinos at the first of the month and you can't afford to buy your medicine, that ain't bad luck. That's not bad luck. So in the Old Testament, when things happen, wasn't bad luck. When Israelites they marched around Jericho and the walls of Jericho fell down, boom, fell down. God had told them something. God said, when you go into Jericho, don't touch nothing, don't take nothing. Okay? Somebody took something. Y'all know the story in Joshua 7. Achan took something. Achan took the bars of gold, and he started explaining it in Joshua. He started explaining it. I couldn't help it. I've seen the gold. I've seen the diamonds and the pearls and all that stuff he's seen. But you know what? When they went to Ai, a little bitty country, and they should have wiped them out. They should have swept them in four games. Ai defeated them, and Israel was fled from Ai. And Joshua fell to his knees. And Joshua's praying. Joshua's praying on the ground. He's praying, God, what's going on? Bye, bye, bye. And you know what God told him? He said, get off your knees. This ain't time for praying. He said in verse 11 of Joshua 7, Israel have sinned. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through.
Amen.
Okay? And some of us in here may be going through some stuff. Pray about it. Yeah, that's a good start. But then be honest with yourself.
Uh-huh.
And ask yourself, why am I going through this? Is there sin in my life? Is there something that I need to deal with that God has told me to deal with and I have not? And God's trying to get my attention. And we talked about that earlier. God gets our attention through circumstances, through people, through the word of God. Amen. Amen. So let's look at our text. They want to find out what's going on. These folks want to find out why they're in this storm. Because this was a beautiful day. You ever had a beautiful day? Beautiful day. You get a phone call. You get a knock on the door. You get a letter in the mail. And then that beautiful day become problematic. This was a beautiful day until Jonah entered the ship. See, when Jonah entered the ship, he brought problems. See, you got to be careful who you allow into your ship.
Amen.
And I say that. A lot of folks don't believe that. They let anybody enter your ship. You got to be careful who enter your ship.
Amen.
Everybody not welcome in your home. And we just let everybody in because we just want to be believers and we need to be hospitable. But that's not true. Some folk gonna bring problems. When Jonah entered this ship, he brought problems. He was costly. He cost these folks all their stuff. When the Bible said that when the storm came, they tried to lighten the ship. What they do? They throw all their little cargo off, all their wares off. They wanted to know. This was getting costly. And when they threw all their wares off, it still wasn't enough. They knew they was dealing with somebody bigger than their little gods. So they go to Jonah. And the shipmaster came to him in verse 6 and says, what meaneth this, thou sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If it be so, that God will think upon us and we not perish. What was Jonah trying to do? Jonah was trying to hide. Jonah was trying to hide. And you know what? Jonah was found out. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira went out and sold the property. God blessed them. Think about this now. God blessed them because they had promised the church they were going to give what they had to what they made from that property to the church. So maybe the property was worth $50,000 and they sold it for $150,000. They're like, whoa. So they kept $100,000 and gave it $50,000. And they was found out. How was they found out? By a spiritual man. By this apostle. This apostle, I think it was Peter. And what happened to him? Y'all know the story. They was dead. Let me read a piece of it. Sometimes the Bible just speaks so clearly. It says a certain man named Ananias and with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Y'all go to the Pentecostal churches. See, this is why you have to be taught. Because, you know, you've been there. Or you watch it on YouTube. And the folks that start running up and throwing money down at the preacher's feet, usually they call themselves apostles. Keep it lining up with scripture. They call themselves apostles. And they run up to the podium, usually when the apostles start getting loud and acting up and dancing and stuff, and then folks start running down, throwing money down. Now, in that kind of church, Matthew would be standing here and Jeremy would be standing there, and they'd be making sure people ain't coming up there taking money. And they throw money down at the apostles' feet. That's where they get that at. Y'all ever wonder about this stuff? And that's just a sidebar. And they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? To keep back part of the price of that land. They was found out by the Holy Ghost. They was found out by the Holy Ghost. I talked about David and his sin. David was found out by Nathan. David was found out by Nathan. You know, sin cannot remain hidden. How about that? You know the word of God says sin, Jonah's sin going to be found out. But sin cannot remain hidden. We like to think it is. We like to think we can do our little thing and show up on Sunday, act like we just saints of God. Some folks change their voice, some men of God. Sin cannot remain hidden. Know why I know that? Because the Bible says so. Amen. I'm gonna give y'all some good verses. We get some good verses. David's gonna have a good time. His numbers 32 and 23. Remember this one. He said, But if you will not do so, not do what God asked you to do. Behold, there's a word. Behold. Pay attention. This is big. Ye have sinned against the Lord. And the Lord asked you to do something, you don't want to do it. Remember something. You're going to ask the Lord to do more for you than the Lord is going to ask you to do for him. The Lord don't have to pray to us for nothing. We pray to him for our everything. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Watch this now. And be sure, without a shadow of a doubt, be sure your sin will find you out. Ain't that good? Be sure. Jonah should have known all this. Be sure your sin will find you out. And you think you go, well, maybe not on this side. Let me tell you something. I use Hebrews 9:27. It's a good old funeral verse, you know. But the back part of Hebrews 9:27 carries some weight too. It says, it is appointed unto man once to die. And we fine with that. Okay, it's appointed unto man once to die. Okay? But after that, okay? But after this, the judgment. You know what? Well, the saints of God ain't going to be judged. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged based on what you did after God saved you. Where's that at, Pastor? Because sin can't remain unhidden. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now write these down. We ain't going to be here long today. Y'all going to get to the picnic early. Y'all going to get there before the Catholic Church. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body or her body, his or her, according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. Some folk gonna get more than others. Some folks gonna get more punishment than others. Some folks gonna get more attaboys than others. robbers, murderers, adulterers, cheaters. You know, guess what? Such were some of us.
Amen.
But guess what? They're all going to be found out.
Amen.
Sooner or later, the law of the harvest, you reap what you sow, right?
Amen.
I'm the only one to believe that? No. As a man, what? So shall he also. Sow bad seed. Bad seed coming up. Look at verse 7. Now the interrogation starts. You know, it's not wrong with being interrogated. You know, David wanted to be interrogated. David said to the Lord in Psalms, I believe, 24, he said, test me, prove me, try me. I mean, that really ought to be something that the believer looks forward to. Because I want to know if I'm right. I want to know if I'm doing it right. You be in the gym, they got all them coaches. Whether it's football, basketball, you know, you see all them coaches. They say LeBron was missing free throws early in the season, and the new guy, Kyle Korver, came up and said, you know, you're doing this wrong, technique wrong. See, there's nothing wrong with being tested. There's nothing wrong with being tried. You be doing something. You know, we go to the hospital and they bring in Cindy was in the hospital. They brought in a little nurse assistant. She said, I'm going to be with you today watching how everything go. When I went to the hospital, they had a little intern, new nurse, studying, trying to find a vein. I had a lot of veins, so it wasn't hard, but it was kind of spooky, you know. But they had to learn. And how do we learn best? You must make a mistake, trial and error. They interrogated Jonah. These godless heathen ship mariners, they call them in the King James Version. Mariners. What do I call them? Mariners. I'll be messing up some words. Amen, Jake. That's why I love Jake. I don't like Dave. They don't mess up words. Me and Jake mess up some stuff. Mariners. What is a mariner? Mariners. Goodness. They interrogated him. Verse number 7. Watch this now. This is good. They start asking him 7 questions. These 7 questions. And we went over to Sunday school, and I thought about it after Sunday school because I couldn't really hit it like I wanted to in Sunday school. But they asked him 7 questions. 7 questions, and again, CIM, who, what, why, and where, and how. See, Ray got me, he's studying all that stuff too. Got a lot of students in here today. Now, here we go. Watch verse number 7. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now that's interesting. You know what that said? They didn't rush to a conclusion. They didn't rush to a conclusion, and none of them took themselves out of the equation because they probably thought it was Jonah. They probably looked there every round, and here's Jonah sitting there. And, you know, somebody in the church always said, looking like the cat that swallowed the canary. And Jonah probably sitting there, and you know, you can see guilt. If you know your children, you ask them, what you been doing? Head go down. I imagine Jonah's head went down. When they said they was gonna cast lots, well, Jonah knew the lot was gonna fall on him. He knew the storm was his fault. Jonah knew God was after him. So Jonah was just guilty. But these mariners, I'm going to get it right for the end of this sermon. These mariners, and I said it last couple weeks ago, I think they was a Masonic Lodge ship. Okay, because they got all these different gods. But the Masonic Lodge folks is all, they're usually smart folks, educated folks, a lot of old lawyers and doctors. You know, they 33 degrees and all that stuff. So usually they're the smart folks. That's, you know, you look at a Masonic Lodge member's obituary, and it's like this long. Grand Master Flash, Grand Master, you know, just grand stuff. Grand Wizards, Grand Master Flash, Grand Master this, Grand Master that. I need a whole lot. I mean, just, I'm like, man. And then they have a little part in there, and he was a Baptist. They seem like they're always Baptists. Baptists get a bad rap. So he said, everyone to his own fella, come and let us cast lots, that we may know. They want to know for sure. And that's noble of them. They didn't want to find a innocent person guilty. So they took measures to make sure they did this thing right. Folks, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because things are going to rise up in church, and we don't want to just point the finger. But what happens? Y'all know the story. What happens when you point the finger? 3 point back at you. 6 of you, double point them. Watch this now. So they cast lots. Now, what do you mean cast lots? A lot of ways they cast lots. They could have rolled the dice. Some say they throw a stick up in the air. This is some of the stuff we did as kids. We throw a stick up in the air. Everybody stand in a circle. We throw a stick up in the air. And wherever it pointed to, that was the one that was out first. And I don't even play that game. I was. Who in here my age? Mary, you ain't never played that game. You cast lots. Fling, fly, flew. You know, you go up the back. All kind of stuff we did. Okay? All kind of stuff we did to determine who was going to be in and who was going to be out. Most expositors believe when they cast lots here, they had the names of everybody was on the boat. And they would put all names in the bottom. And whether they shook the first one out, that was the one that was guilty. It didn't matter. If they had 50 names in there, Jonah was going to be the one.
Amen.
Okay? Jonah was going to be the one. So they cast lots, and guess what? And the lot fell upon Jonah. Surprise, surprise. No, it's not a surprise. He was guilty. And then they said unto him, now watch these mariners now. See? Mariners. Watch these mariners. I'm stuck, Dave. Watch these mariners. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. First question. Whose cause? What is going on? What have you done? How about that? What have you done, Jonah? What have you done to cause this problem? Who have you harmed? They have serious questions. Whose cause? Jonah didn't answer. He's going to answer at the end. Look at the second question. Verse number 8, the second question. They interrogate this man. Whose cause? First question, whose cause? What have you done? Why are you even on this ship with us? Okay? Who has you harmed? That's the first, their first thoughts. A storm like this that pops out of nowhere, this is God's judgment. He wanted somebody. He was looking for somebody. And they found Jonah. And they questioned him with 7 questions. What have thou done? Look at the second question. This is an interesting one here. What is thy occupation? Is that it? What is thine occupation? What do you do? I'm a fireman. No. I work at General Motors. No. I work at the bank. No. I'm a prophet. That was his answer. I'm a prophet. You know what he said? I'm a Christian. Know what they're thinking? What you running for? What are you running for?
What are you doing on this ship with us? Why are you here? Why are you there? Why are you acting like this? Why are you going there? Why are you saying this? You're a Christian. That would have reminded Jonah of what? When they asked him what his occupation was, when these mariners asked him what his occupation was, he would have reminded him that he was a prophet of God. I'm a child of God. Somebody asked you your occupation. We like that too. You know, I'm a sanitation engineer. That's, yeah, technical name for garbage man. See, we like people to ask us our occupation if it's a nice one. Okay? What is thine occupation? I'm a prophet of the Most High God. Whew. Why are you running there? Look at the third question. Whence comest thou? Still in verse number 8. Whence comest thou? How about that? Where you come from? What kind of world you live in? What kind of people you come from? Where you come from? What have you done? What have you been into? Your kids come home and they look a hot mess. And you ask them, where you been? Where you coming from? Who told you to go there? Who told Jonah to get on this boat? Nobody. Jonah got on the boat on his own. Jonah got on the boat on his own. Now I know. When God did his work and we'll find out in chapter 4. Jonah had this confession. He said in verse number 2, he said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Jonah was on his own. Nothing like a prophet of God on his own. Nothing like a Christian on his own. You know what? Jonah should have been a blessing. If anything, he should have been a blessing to that boat. He should have been a blessing to those mariners and all that ship. He should have been a blessing. They should have had a wonderful trip because they had a man of God on it. Amen. Instead, you know what? Because Jonah was out of the will of God, he became a curse. He became a curse to those folks. You know, as a man of God, everywhere we go, as children of God, as Christians, we ought to be a blessing. The office should be better because we got a Christian in it. Amen. The assembly line ought to be better because we got a Christian working on it. The maintenance department ought to be better because we got a Christian maintenance man. The school ought to be the school ought to be better because we got Christian students. And you know what? That's rarely the case. That's unfortunate, but it's rarely the case. Because our public schools filled with church folks, kids. He says, whence comest thou? They knew something was wrong with Jonah. What is thy country? That's the next question. What is thy country? You know, you be out, I'll be out no matter where I'm at. Okay, so where are you from? Youngstown. You know what come with that? Mafia. Jim trafficking, Mark Dan, I mean, all the negative stuff. Uh-huh. Steel mill shutting down, murder rate high. So we like, well, fine. Outside of Youngstown, Liberty, or Boardman, Poland, and Struthers, and Camel. They say Camel. Water bad in Camel, ain't it? This week I seen the water alert came on my phone. I said, good, Jake, can take a shower now. But we identify by where we come from. And you tell people you come from this church. This church got its own name in the city. It do. Every church has its own name. You tell them what church you come from, and folks know you. They still something about your church. Go to the hairdresser. They know all about the pastors of these churches.
Uh-huh.
Ain't no secrets in them. What is that country, verse number 8? What kind of evil people are you? I mean, think about what was happening on this ship. It was about to break in half. Remember in Acts, Paul was on a ship. And a storm came. Storm came, broke the ship up. Paul came up and said, "Don't nobody leave the ship. We're all gonna be saved. Don't nobody leave the ship." Mm-hmm. Okay? Acts 28. And they got to shore. They got to shore. And it says in Acts 28:1, it says, "And when they all were escaped," they escaped the ship. Then they knew that the island was called Melita. Now Paul's on this island. And the barbarous people showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received every one of us because of the present rain and because of the cold. They received every one of them. And they didn't ask no questions. They just, every one of them, they received. Now here's Paul. Here's the apostle who saved all these folks on this ship, because they was about ready to jump over. And Paul saved them all through the power of God. And here's Paul. Now, if it had been one of us or myself, I'd have saved everybody. I'll be sitting there. I'm not going to be picking up no sticks. I'd have saved all y'all. I done gave y'all the word. I'm not picking up no sticks, y'all. I'm just going to be, you know, because I'm gloating in the fact that I told y'all God was good.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I'm just chilling by the fire. No. Paul wasn't like that. See the humility of Paul. And it says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, I might have got a couple sticks. Paul reached in down deep and got a bundle of sticks. Okay? And laid them on the fire. That's what scripture says. See, many are afflictions of the righteous. Many are afflictions of the righteous. See, so he lays his bundle of sticks on the fire. Watch what happened. Then there came a viper out of the heat. How about that? A viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. How about that? Fastened on his hand. I mean, what was that viper doing when the viper was fastened on his hand? Injecting that venom into Paul. Okay? Now these barbarians, listen, God puts in all of us. See, this is why people say, well, what about the people who never heard the word of God? You mean tell me they're going to hell? Yes, they are.
Know
why? Because the word of God said that. Say the word of God has gone out to all the world.
Yep.
Nobody going to hell that don't deserve to go.
Amen.
These barbarians people knew right from wrong. Okay? They knew it was built in their heart to know right from wrong. Watch what happens now. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, it's just hanging on Paul's hand. You know how many folks they probably seen die from these viper bites on this island? And they probably said, well, he's getting ready to swell up and drop over. Because that's what happened to my brother. That's what happened to my cousin. That's what happened to my father. That's what happened to my sister. Whatever. And when the barbarians saw this venomous beast hang on his hand, it said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. So when these heathen mariners are asking Jonah, what's thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What have you been doing? They figure he was either a murderer or done some violent act, because God was raging. Y'all know the story of Paul. Paul showed off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Why? Because God had a plan for Paul. God had told Paul you was going to get to Rome. When God tell you you're going to get somewhere, you're going to get somewhere. Then when God tell you to stay somewhere, stay somewhere. See, we move without asking God.
And
we make plans without asking God. Then we tell God to bless our plans. And that's what we do. We don't get on our knees and we don't ask God and we don't look what God is doing in our life. We just pack up and do what we want to do. And then we say, God bless us.
And then when all hell break out, we say, oh, it's a bad luck. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Yeah, my mother used to say that, Bob. A hard head make up. She didn't say it like that. See, we got to make sure we're in the will of God. As children of God, Christians, Bible-believing people, we got to make sure we're in the will of God. And then we have to welcome the test. Welcome the questions. Am I in the will of God? Because stuff going to be happening to you. I say it all the time. Y'all hear me say it all the time. I was telling my wife yesterday, we was talking, having this conversation. You either in trouble, heading for trouble, just getting out. That's how we live on this world. That's how this thing goes. And the reason why God don't say we don't live our best life now, because it get better. It's got to get better. What people art thou? See, when they asked him this, what people art thou? He said, I'm a Hebrew. You know what he said when he said he was a Hebrew? That brought great fear to these people. He said, I'm a Hebrew. He said, well, you crossed over here on dry land, the Red Sea parted, the walls of Jericho, we know all about you. See, when you say you're a Christian, you know what you're actually saying? I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell. Amen. I was on my way to hell. I was living in darkness. I was a hot mess. I was a rebel. I hated God. But he quickened me. And he woke me up. For by grace am I saved through faith, and not of myself. It's a gift of God. And when you say you're a Christian, when you say you're a Christian, you're saying something. See, we take everybody a Christian. I mean, everybody a Christian. I'm telling you, everybody a Christian. I do my religious assessments. I walk around, talk to these kids, and they are to a T. If I do 99 assessments a month, these folks coming into prison and kill people, rape people, juvenile sex offenders, drug addicts, crackheads, don't matter. When I do the religious assessment, you know what they say they are? 99% Christian. I said, well, I'm here to do your religious assessment. Ask you a few questions. Where are you from? And, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? What church did you go to? Didn't go to church. What faith? I asked about faith first. I'm a Christian. Because I get you got a choice. You got Christian, Catholic, Muslim, Jew, or Protestant. They all say, I'm Christian. I say, what church you go to? I didn't go to church. You been baptized? Well, once they say they don't go to church, I just put N.A. on the rest. I say, you have any need for religious service? No, I don't have no need for religious service. Christians. They all Christians with no need. You need a Bible? No, I don't need a Bible. They don't even have TVs in these kids' rooms. I said, you need a Bible? No. Are you a Christian? What Christians don't need a Bible? I got good Bibles. Nice King James Bibles. Leathers. Let's keep going. Then they said unto him, I thought this was interesting. I thought this was the most interesting part of this whole verse in verse number 11. Let me read down. And I'm gonna let y'all go. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for what cause this evil is upon us. Verse number 8. What is thy occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people are you? They interrogate this man. And then they asked him one last question in verse 11. I'm gonna get there. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of the heaven, and which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, because they knew. He told them something big there. Why hast thou done this? Here's another question. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. See, there's sins of what? Omission. And commission. Okay? What's his sin? Omission or commission? Both, a little bit of both, ain't it? A little bit of both. He definitely was wrong, because he was going to tell God what he was going to do. When God told him to do something, he said no. What's God asking you to do? It's because you can't be his child. What child does a parent not ask him to do something? Think about that. I put a lot of demands on the kids in my house. You're a child of God, and God's not asking you to do nothing? He's not asking you to do nothing? He not asking you to do nothing? I mean, you don't see a need in the church? And God has said to this church, I've created some needs. And know what we like to do? Run like Jonah. Too tired. Too busy. Too much going on. You know, it's like the parable of the sower. He sold some on hard pan, they don't even hear it. Some folks don't even hear it. They back there texting and playing on their phone. They not even hear nothing. Okay? They don't hear nothing. They got the head down the whole service. That's the hard pan. Ain't hearing nothing. Okay? That's fine. They ain't gonna stop me from preaching. Okay? Amen. Then you got some land on a stony ground. That's like a little sheet of dirt that high. Underneath that dirt is just rock. So the roots go down, hit the rock, and they stop. But it's enough root to go pop up. But guess what happened? When the heat comes. Not like dandelions. You can walk, pull a dandelion up, but usually they stop if they're on hard ground. And we got a lot of dandelion type Christians. You know, they got the word of God and they got excited, you know, and they was at church, maybe the preacher put on a show and they come running down the aisle. Hallelujah. He saved me. You know? And as soon as they get out, as soon as they get on Facebook and as soon as they get out there in social media, you know, parties over here, they got some good stuff going on, and all the girls are gonna be there and all the boys are gonna be there, and we're gonna be getting high. And I got saved today. And then they said, well, one more time won't hurt. And then they write back, because that's the stony ground. Then you get to, I think this is where church is at. The thorny ground. I think the church is the thorny ground. Okay? And then this is where you put the seed on the ground and it comes up, and it's beautiful. But you got so many things going on in the world, and it's just choking. Like I told you guys when I put my first garden in, sun was shining this way, put my garden here, I put my tomatoes here, and then I put my peppers here, then I put my cucumbers here, okay? And the sun was there, and the cucumber just choked out everything. I had cucumbers growing across the street. I had cucumbers going in the neighbor's yard. I never knew that. Because see, that's how we are. We the tomato plant and we the pepper plant and we get choked out. We get to the Lord, we get choked out. We got so much going on. Barely made it here today. Whew. I barely made it to church. Whew. I'm working overtime. Whew. I work a double. I work a triple. I work a quadruple. You know? I got so many things going on. I'm so busy. Let's look at this last one. I got off track. They asked Jonah. He guilty now. Getting ready to throw him overboard. But they asked Jonah. This is a good question. And then they said unto him, last question, I'm going to let y'all go. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? Here's Jonah with the opportunity of a lifetime. You know what happened if you was in courtroom and you was a murderer or you was a rapist or you was a robber or a burglar or whatever? The judge said, listen, what can I do? What should I do? I don't want to put you in jail. You know what that burglar would say? You know what that rapist would say? You know what that robber would say, that thief would say? I'll never do it again, judge. Knowing good and well, he probably will. But if you're going to let me out of this, I'll tell you whatever you want to hear.
Amen.
So like when Jesus was on the cross with two thieves, and the one thief said, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us, and let's get back to doing our thing. That's really what he was saying. But you know what? They asked Jonah, they said, Jonah, what should we do that the sea may be calm on us? And I thought Jonah's answer was just telling of how arrogant and how rebellious he was. Listen to what he says. He said unto them. Now, this is what I thought he should have said. Here, shipmaster, turn this ship around and start heading toward Nineveh so I can do what God told me to do. Now, wouldn't that be reasonable? I mean, I would think that would be reasonable. Turn the ship around. God will provide the wind, and we'll get there, and I'll get off on shore and go preach to people like he said. That ain't what Jonah said. Jonah said, I'd be dumb if I'm going to preach to them, but I hate them folks. I'm not saying nothing to them. I'd rather go to the bottom of the sea than preach to them folks I hate. Okay? That's what he said. He said, if God wants me to get there, he better prepare a whale to swallow me up, because I'm going in this water and I'm going down. That's rebellious. That's hatred. Why did Jonah hate them, Ninevite? We don't know. We can only speculate. They was murderous people. Probably killed a lot of Jews. But if you God's prophet, and God tell you to do something, what's the punishment for a prophet? Telling a lie. If a prophet said, like Benny Hinn, all homosexuality would be ended by 1985. He said that. He's a prophet. He calls himself a prophet. What? Should Benny Hinn still be on TV? No, he's a prophet. What should happen to him? He should have been stoned. Okay, he should have been executed. He way off on that one. And that's not the only one. I'm not going to go down the list. These guys are saying some stuff. But Jonah knew that the sin of disobeying God was death. And he said, I'm not going to obey. So you might as well throw me in the river or throw me in the sea. He said to them, take me up and cast me forth in the sea. That's picture true rebellious. That's a rebel. You know the story. Y'all heard the story about the little girl she's asleep now. Ariana. See, and the mother's in the car. Sit down. And she's like, no. And the mother finally, God forbid, we spank our kids anymore. And then she sits down. She says, I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the outside. Y'all on the ball today. Y'all messed up my rhythm. I may be sitting down on the inside. Wait a minute. I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the
inside.
Thank you. Amen. Goodness. Y'all work a preacher in here. Boy, I'm so glad I got Jake over there. Lord have mercy. Now, stop there now. He says, take me up. Cast me in the sea. Cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Now watch this now. This is a nevertheless. Now, folks, let me tell y'all something. I know this is hard. You know, we have a saying in the prison, it's hard, but it's fair. When you identify a problem, okay? You got a problem in your life. You identify the problem. You want to deal with it. Whatever it is. If you go to the doctor say, you know what? You got a mouthful of cavities.
You need to start brushing your teeth more and take better care of your teeth. Usually, okay. You go to the doctor and say, you know what, all the smoking, all the cigarettes, you need to stop. Or you get a, like I say, get a couple DUIs in there, you need to stop drinking. Okay? Whatever. I can give you some more illustrations, but I don't want to get too graphic. But they've identified the problem. Jonah has told them, by the will of God, I'm the problem, cast me into the sea. Here's the nevertheless. You know what that nevertheless means? We're going to do it our way. We don't want to do that. We don't want to deal with this problem because it's going to be painful. So they say, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. Why? Because God wanted Jonah in that water. He had prepared a fish to escort Jonah. Uber fish. He gonna get Jonah to Nineveh because he told Jonah he was going to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah was getting to Nineveh. Okay? Now listen. Nevertheless, folks, nevertheless, you got some issues, causing you some problems. God's giving you the word, God's giving you the answer, and you say, no, God, you said nevertheless. And know what you start doing? Working harder to deal with what God said I'll take care of. And these folks tried and tried and tried to, they rolled harder. I mean, they put their sweat into it and they were rolling away. But guess what? They could not. For the sea was rough and tempestuous against them. God was against them. God was against them. Now watch what happens in verse 14. I'm telling you. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord. And they said, we beseech you, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased. And they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice. Well, what did they offer? They threw everything over. All they had left was what? Themselves. Now, I believe these mariners, what'd you say, Matthew? See? I believe these mariners found the Lord. And then I've heard this, y'all know we had a running feud about this. Okay? After I studied Jonah extensively, I believe in God's grace. I believe in God's grace and in God's mercy for these mariners that they did see Jonah get swallowed up and taken away. That's just me. I know y'all don't agree.
Amen.
Okay? Because that's the kind of God he is. God, he said, the Lord exceedingly offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They made vows unto the Lord. They made vows unto the Lord. They committed their lives to the Lord. They said, Lord, if you get us, you because of what we've seen you do, because of how you delivered us and how you spoke to us through Jonah, we're going to offer ourselves to you. I don't believe they were the same mariners. Or mariners when they left that ship. About 15 times I said that, huh? I'm gonna go listen to the tape and count them. They made a vow. These godless mariners accepted the Lord, or knew him, found out about him, seen God in action. The real one. Amen.
what do we do with a lesson like that? I think one of the biggest words in that lesson was nevertheless. God is telling us what we need to do. He's telling us what we need to do. He's telling us who we are as children of God. The importance of being a child of God in a fallen world. And I believe me, people, there's no greater time to be a Christian. Everywhere we go, we see lost souls. And I think somebody said in Sunday school, folks on their way to hell. And the church is sitting idle.